Hi, Mark Graven here. This is Chapter 15 of Practicing Lean. This project is supporting a really worthy nonprofit organization based in Texas, but they've got quite a national, if not global, reach. They are the Louise H. Batts Patient Safety Foundation. You can learn more about them by going to www.louisebatts.org. Chapter 15, Mike Lee. Mike Lee is the president and founder of OpEx Solutions, LLC, a consulting company that specializes in helping manufacturers and other organizations pursue operational excellence through leadership development and process improvement. Mike has spent most of his 30-year career in various operational leadership roles. Prior to starting his own business, he worked as a manufacturing leader and a lean leader for General Electric, building industrial gas turbines and wind turbines for the energy industry. Before that, Mike served 10 years on active duty in the U.S. Navy, specializing in surface warfare and nuclear propulsion. He eventually retired from the Navy Reserve as a commander. Mike has a BS degree in computer engineering from the Milwaukee School of Engineering and an MS degree from Troy State University in human resource management. He also qualified as a nuclear engineer in the U.S. Navy. Mike and his family live in Roanoke, Virginia.
A very lucky guy. I am a very lucky guy. Most people would probably describe my career as successful. After retiring from the military and doing well as a manufacturing leader, I've been able to build my own business helping organizations improve their processes and develop their leaders. But along the way, I had developed the mindset that I was a good leader. I must have been because I was getting promoted, right? I also thought I knew everything I needed to know about how to start and succeed in my own business. One day, about 8 years ago, I walked into my plant manager's office and told him I was quitting to start my business. To say he was shocked would have been an understatement. At the time, I was working for General Electric as an operations manager with a team of 180 people. I was on the fast track, and unbeknownst to me, I had been selected to attend a corporate leadership course for potential future executives. In my new business, I was going to teach others how to be good leaders, but I probably would have failed because it was the start of the Great Recession. My luck started the next day when the general manager of our business unit visited our factory. His name was Tim, and he was someone I had known and respected for several years. I considered him a friend and a mentor. He met with me that day after I announced my resignation and said, "Mike, I think you should stay with GE and let me tell you why." I won't bore you with all the details, but he ultimately convinced me to stay when he offered to get me into a corporate lean leader role. Although I knew almost nothing about lean, the little I did know was fascinating to me, and the role would allow me to develop consulting skills that could provide useful in my future business. My lean journey was about to go from 0 to 60 overnight. My introduction to lean occurred about 2 years earlier. It was my first day on the job in the operations manager role. The morning I showed up at the factory, the guy who I was replacing, Jim, who was moving to a new role himself, met me at the front door and said, "We are having a Kaizen event this week and the kickoff meeting is about to start." I hadn't even gone to my new office yet or set down my bag as we walked into the kickoff meeting with about 60 people. There were 5 teams ready to go: two corporate lean leaders, a consultant from Shingijutsu, and the entire factory leadership team. "You and I are leading a Kaizen team this week," Jim said. I had started with GE during their Six Sigma heyday, and like almost everyone else, I was a certified green belt. Twice in my GE career, I was offered black belt roles, considered a career essential role back then, but I turned them down because I just didn't like Six Sigma. I had heard of lean, but I didn't know anything about it. So for the most part, I was simply along for the ride during the Kaizen event. Our consultant that week was excellent. Every time he talked to our team, I thought, "This stuff is great." But I couldn't fully enjoy the week because I was too busy worrying about getting started in my new role. So as soon as the event was done, I jumped into learning about all the production processes I was about to manage and began to lead in a way that had brought me success in the past. And for the next 2 years, my style continued to work. During my tenure, we conducted 4 or 5 more major Kaizen events, each one exposing me more to the concepts of lean. It felt right and natural to me, and I began to form ideas of how lean could help our processes. But why make changes and take risks when you are already successful? So my first bit of luck was having a mentor talk me into staying with GE as a lean leader. My second bit of luck was becoming a member of a true learning organization with phenomenal mentors. I had become a lean leader in GE Energy's corporate lean office, In total, there were four of us who were led by a GE executive named Mark. Our team's function was to help GE Energy factories implement Lean. We did this by providing consulting and mentorship to the leadership in each factory on the concepts of Lean, and we hired Shingijutsu consultants to support multi-team Kaizen events and mentor us along the way. Mark wanted the four of us to first and foremost learn from the Shingijutsu consultants so we could increase our knowledge and improve our support to the factories. When I first started, Mark said to me, "It will take you about 6 months until you become comfortable to give advice and support the business." What? I wasn't expected to have all the answers right away. It was the first time in my 20 years of leadership experience that I wasn't expected to jump in and take charge. And Mark was right. It took about 6 months before I felt comfortable giving advice. Over the next 5 years, I supported 45 Shingijutsu multi-team week-long Kaizen events in 15 different factories. Prior to each event, my role was to provide advice and support to the factory to scope the teams properly and conduct necessary pre-work. But during the events, I was with the consultant the entire week, including dinner each evening. At first, it was humbling, but the more I learned, the more I wanted to learn. And I believe I learned what Lean and TPS is really supposed to be about. Most people do not get the opportunity to learn about Lean like I did. I was lucky. During those years with GE and subsequent years in my own business, I learned a lot of lessons and key concepts, most of which fall under the category, "If I only knew then what I know now." I sincerely hope these lessons will pass on some of my luck to you. Lesson 1. Leadership and culture is trump. As I began to be exposed to the concepts and philosophy of Lean, I was hooked. Almost immediately, I understood the concepts of standard work, Jidoka, flow, and respect for people. I was excited beyond belief because here was this philosophy slash methodology slash toolset that provided endless opportunities to improve manufacturing operations. So why wasn't everyone excited? Early in my Lean leader role, I expected everyone to quickly understand and believe in the concepts of Lean. I became frustrated that manufacturing leaders across our business couldn't see the benefits. The leaders of several of the factories I worked with seemed to support Lean and Kaizen, but during the Kaizen events, they were only seen at the kickoff and closeout meetings. Why don't they participate? Although the lack of participation by senior leaders usually did not have a big impact on the success of the Kaizen event, over the long term, those factories usually experienced limited success and sustainability. In a select few businesses, it was different. During the Kaizen events, the plant manager would block out the entire week and either walk with a sensei or participate on a team. These leaders wanted to learn, and their participation communicated to the workforce that Lean was important. As you can guess, the long-term success from Kaizen efforts in these factories was much greater. Before I go further, I need to make an important point. As you read this chapter, I may sound very critical of GE. It is unavoidable for me to describe what I've learned on my Lean journey without describing some things I believe GE does incorrectly. However, you would be mistaken to believe that I hate or disrespect GE. There is a reason GE has been successful for so long and has a phenomenal reputation. They were a great company to work for and do much more right than they do wrong. I have nothing but respect for GE, and I was fortunate to work for them for 13 years. It's probably not a secret to anyone reading this that leadership plays an important part towards the success of a Lean journey. I quickly learned the same thing, and I got frustrated when some leaders wouldn't become more engaged. I admit that I once considered these leaders as cement heads, but over time, I changed my attitude and developed a deeper understanding of why some leaders stayed on the sidelines. A wise mentor of mine once told me, "Those who are most resistant to change are those most effective in the current system." Senior production managers and executives who lead GE factories, or lead any organization, have achieved success in their companies. At GE, leaders who could hit their numbers each quarter were valued, and innovative risk takers were only rewarded if they didn't fail. I imagine this culture is not much different than most companies, so it takes a unique leader willing to do something different. I call these leaders promoters, because in their mind, practicing Lean is not an option, and everyone knows it through their words and actions. I was not a promoter as an operations manager. Hit the numbers and don't take risks. If I only knew then what I know now. I also learned that some leaders do not become more engaged in Lean because they simply do not see the benefits. Many of the leaders I worked with had not been exposed to the concepts and benefits of Lean. No one, leaders or others, will ever be highly motivated to work towards any goal or initiative unless they truly believe in the benefits. In one of the factories I supported, there was a productions manager named Joe who was also the site lean leader. He was innovative, dedicated, and a lean promoter. With the help of our team, Joe accomplished some phenomenal results, including a lead time reduction from 8 to 5 days for a major assembly. He used to complain to me because none of the other production managers would engage in Kaizen activities. I had to explain to Joe that none of the other leaders understood lean well enough to understand how practicing lean could help them. There is an excellent book called Mindset by Carol Dweck that describes the benefits of having a growth mindset instead of a fixed mindset. A growth mindset is a belief that your qualities can be cultivated through effort, and everyone can grow through application and experience. A fixed mindset is a belief that your qualities can't be changed and creates an internal need to prove yourself. Someone with a growth mindset wants to learn, and mistakes are part of the learning process. Someone with a fixed mindset is risk-averse and looks at mistakes as failures. For those leaders who have a fixed mindset and are not willing to make changes, there is not much a supporting lean leader or consultant can do. Although I am an optimist and I never give up trying to help leaders develop a growth mindset, I learned it was better to spend my efforts with those who want to try and learn and grow. So our lean team focused primarily on supporting those managers and businesses who had a lean growth mindset. We created model lines and highlighted our lean successes with the intent of helping those with the fixed mindset to see. It is difficult to change someone's mindset, and we only had limited success creating lean promoters. But I believe it is always worth the effort because significant success practicing lean cannot be achieved otherwise. Strong, promoting leadership trumps all other factors in determining sustained success practicing lean. Lesson 2. Be believable. For anyone who has tried to convince others of the benefits of lean or motivate them to take action, you know it's not easy. I've been trying to do this for many years, and I still haven't figured it out. But I have learned at least one thing about motivation. Another mentor of mine once told me, "Everyone wants something to believe in." If a leader can create a vision that others believe in, there is a much greater probability that action will take place towards that vision. But it must be believable. Once I understood how lean could transform a business, I became very excited and motivated to help others. Moving lines, one-piece flow, rapid changeovers, I saw huge opportunity everywhere. We can create a one-piece flow cell here and cut our lead time by 90%. If we reduce the changeover time by half on the PCBA line, we can reduce our batch sizes by half and get rid of a lot of WIP. Let's put a team together to get rid of all the crane usage on this line. The responses I received ranged from mild acceptance to downright negativity. "That can't be done," or "it will never work," were heard often. So I started to respond in a mature, logical way. No one is allowed to use the words "can't" and "never" during our Kaizen efforts. Why didn't everyone get excited like I was? Then one day during a Shingijutsu Kaizen event, I learned what my problem was. There was a team working to improve an assembly line layout, and they suggested minor changes to the sensei. The consultant gave his approval, and the team proceeded to make the changes over the next couple days. I was shocked. It was obvious to me how some major improvements could be made, but the consultant didn't push the team. Once we were alone, I asked, "Sensei, it was obvious the team could have made bigger improvements. Why didn't you push them to make bigger changes?" He responded, "Mike-san, the team must learn to walk before they can run. Until they learn to walk, they won't understand or believe they can run." No wonder why few people believed me. I was trying to convince non-runners that they could complete a marathon when I should have helped them to run a 5K. Why would anyone believe a press die could be changed in 15 minutes when no one had ever seen it done in less than 2 hours? It took me a couple years before I learned this lesson, but once I did, it was much easier to convince others to take action. I simply had to provide a vision of the next small step and keep the bigger vision to myself. Lesson 3. Promote the journey. The results will come. Results are important. Ultimately, it's why we work on continuous improvement. But when it comes to practicing lean, it really is about the journey, not the destination. One of the key philosophies of lean is to create a learning organization. In an earlier chapter of this book, Michael Lombard mentions the importance of quickly trying ideas over and over again to learn. Mark Graban frequently discusses the importance of having respect for people and promoting a culture of learning in his books and blogs. I couldn't agree more, and that's what I mean by the journey. But how do you convince business leaders and clients that it's okay if we don't get results right away as long as learning is taking place? It's a fact in business that results matter, and GE was no different. Almost every business leader wanted results and ROI from Kaizen events, and I would be lying if I told you I didn't hope for a big hitter at each one. Before every event, we ensured that each team had measurable goals to accomplish, and if ROI couldn't be demonstrated, we often had to re-scope the project, or select a different project altogether. One business leader would go so far as to demand that every team had to complete 2 safety and 2 quality improvements during a Kaizen event, regardless if they were related to that team's scope. On the last day of a Kaizen week, team members would be searching throughout the factory for safety and quality improvements unrelated to the scope of their project, while missing out on more important opportunities to learn from the sensei. Sheesh! I haven't figured out yet how to convince some leaders that short-term benefits are less important than the long-term results that will be achieved by allowing people to learn without pressure to achieve measurable results on every initiative. This was nearly impossible at GE because most leaders were only in their roles for 2 or 3 years before moving on, and missing your numbers each quarter was unacceptable. But I've discovered that smaller companies, and those that are privately owned, are more likely to think long-term because their leaders are there longer. I now always set the expectation that the primary goal of Kaizen is to learn. Eventually, the results will happen. As a consultant, it's hard not to promise short-term results. It's difficult to turn down work where the client's only priority is cutting costs. But I would be doing our lean community a disservice if I did work that focused on the short-term or only on cost. Lesson 4. Promote the philosophy, not the tools. I love Mark Graybon's lame acronym, Lean as Misguidedly Executed, and I've begun to use it when I teach. Unfortunately, I think there might be more examples of lame these days than there are solid lean applications. I believe the primary reason this has occurred is due to the prevalent thought that lean is a set of tools. When I started practicing lean, like most people, I first learned the tools. Value stream mapping, 5 whys, process at a glance, etc. Due to early success using these tools, I quickly formed opinions on how they should be used and what they should look like. Lean tools should be standardized, right? But once again, I learned this was lame from my teachers. I would attempt to force a Kaizen project into a tool rather than adapt a tool to my needs. Over time, as I observed and learned from Shingijutsu and my own mistakes, I realized that lean tools were meant to be molded, altered, and even invented as the need arose. And the need arose from understanding how to apply the concepts of lean to a problem. Let me try to explain. During one of our big GE Kaizen events, a team was attempting to improve flow through a series of processes. It was very complex. It was so complex that no one, including our sensei, really knew for sure what would happen if the ideas of the team were implemented. Due to relatively long cycle times and multiple variables, tri-storming was not practical. It was a perfect situation for a simulation. Now the sensei knew this would be tough, so he asked me to join the team for the rest of the week to help them create a simulation and analyze the improvement ideas. I can guarantee you, there is no book or other instructional material in existence that teaches the tool we created. And there is no way I could have created this tool without spending many weeks learning the concepts of lean from my sensei. When I started my tool-centered approach to lean, I tried to convince my boss we should buy a computer simulation program. He gently coached me why that was a direction we didn't want to go. Our results that week were phenomenal, but not because we saved GE a lot of money. All of us on that team developed a much deeper understanding of lean. The emphasis on tools and the misapplication of them that occurs because of a limited understanding of lean is what causes lame. In Taichi Ono's book, Toyota Production System, Beyond Large-Scale Production, he wrote, "With a better tool, we can get wonderful results, but if we use it incorrectly, the tool can make things worse. Kanban is one of those tools that if used improperly can cause a variety of problems. To employ Kanban properly and skillfully, we try to clearly understand its purpose and role and then establish rules for its use." You could substitute any tool for Kanban in this excerpt and it would be correct. I wish I would have spent more time early in my lean journey reading the writings of Taichi Ono, Shigeo Shingo, and W. Edwards Demings, and less time studying tools. Final thoughts. When I learned about this book, I made a commitment to myself to write this chapter. Not only did I want to help my fellow lean practitioners, but I knew it would help remind me of where I'd come from on my journey. Thank you, Mark Graban, for this book idea, even if you don't include this chapter, and your remarkable contributions to the lean community. One of my pet peeves in the continuous improvement community is the misguided emphasis on certifications. I'm all for training and education, and I encourage everyone to acquire more knowledge whenever possible. But I firmly believe that certifications in the Lean and Six Sigma communities has done more harm than good. Certifications promote a fixed mindset instead of a growth mindset and learning culture. At GE, my boss was asked to develop the requirements for a new GE Lean Leader certification. He didn't want to for the reasons I've just mentioned, but higher authority prevailed and a certification was created. One of the requirements was to participate in a Shingijutsu Kaizen event. Once the requirements were communicated, and because our office coordinated all these Kaizen events, we were bombarded by GE employees around the country who wanted to know how to participate. Clearly, most of these employees were only interested in padding their credentials. If it's necessary for you to get a certification to advance your career, then by all means go get one. But please consider it as merely a small step towards a lifelong learning journey. I believe I've achieved the highest certification you can get in Lean, but it's not hanging on my wall. In fact, it's not written anywhere, and I can't put it on my professional biography because almost no one will understand. But it means everything to me. This certification was achieved during the complex simulation event I described earlier. During that event, our sensei from Shingijutsu was someone I had worked with for 12 weeks over a 4-year period. After I had led the simulation team for 3 days, he was very pleased with the results, and he said, "Thank you, Sensei Mike. You did a great job." It was the first time he had ever addressed me as a sensei, and from that point forward, he continued to do so. We both knew the significance of that moment. I was lucky to have the opportunity to get to that point on my journey and earn his certification. I sincerely wish everyone could do the same. Good luck on your journey.